By the way, Tyson Fury can flat out sing.
Yeah, he sang this song after he beat Deontay Wilder. He sang this song in the ring.
The first time he's done it. No, the other thing was great. He came in to Patsy Cline's Crazy, which was also an interesting choice if you know some things about Tyson Fury.
He's an interesting person. He is not all good.
Not all good. And he's acknowledged that.
Yes, he has.
But larger than life in many ways, shape, and form. And so a lot of people are still talking about what's going on with the fight. And we got a lot to get to, including what happens today, where there will be a memorial service at Staples Center for Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and all the others that perished in that helicopter crash a month ago. So for all of this, we're delighted to be joined now in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by Justin Tinsley, who does a great job for us on the Undefeated. Justin, thanks for being with us this morning. There's a lot to get to. Let's start with the fight, because a lot of people not only looked at this as a heavyweight fight, but a spectacle, a cultural experience, a happening that boxing really needed. It felt like it delivered.
It felt exactly like it delivered. It was the biggest heavyweight fight in at least the last 15 to 20 years, and it felt like a moment that you had to be there for. Now, the result was overwhelmingly in Fury's favor. This wasn't a fight where you could be, oh, well, Wilder did this, so he should have won. No, it was not left to doubt. Fury won that fair and square. Now, what happens in the future? Will it be Wilder Fury 3, or will it be Fury Anthony Joshua? I don't know, but that it felt great having a heavyweight fight actually matter again.
It really did. Plus the buildup and everything for it. Again, it was the biggest heavyweight gate in Nevada, just under $17 million. Each boxer pulled in at least $25 to $35 million. So the ending, which seemed to be controversial to some in your circles, was it a controversial ending?
No, it wasn't. Sometimes you got to save a fighter from themselves. When I was watching the fight, I was watching it with a group of friends. I didn't realize that his ear was bleeding the way that it was. I saw his lip first. But when I saw his ear bleeding and someone mentioned to me, I think his eardrum busted. Once you get your eardrum busted, your equilibrium is all off. And if you saw his legs looked like wet noodles. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, well, somebody's going to have to stop this fight at some point. Because I didn't even think Wilder knew his way around the ring. So I wasn't mad at the referee stopping the fight. I wasn't mad at the corner stopping the fight. Again, sometimes you just got to save a fighter from himself.
Yeah, look, he did. You're right. Ever since the eardrum was burst, you could tell he was wobbling the entire time. He wasn't connecting on any punches. So I guess, look, he has the clause in his contract, Deontay Wilder does, to within 30 days to invoke a rematch. But because this was so one-sided, Justin, and because the first time it was really only a draw because Tyson Fury got knocked down late in that fight, what did we see from Saturday night that would lead us that there might be a different result the next time these two guys would fight?
That's the $6 million question. Fury came into the fight with a different trainer, and obviously that worked wonders for him. He came in at a heavier weight, but he still looked very nimble on his feet. That's the thing about Fury as well. A lot of people don't give him the credit that he deserves from a pure boxing standpoint, and it showed on Saturday. Now, who knows what Wilder is going to do, but I would believe that you have to at least go for a third bout. The first one, like you said, was a tie. I thought Wilder won the first one, but obviously the judges felt a different way. Now, Fury overwhelmingly won the second fight. There has to be a third one just to settle everything. That's at least from a pure boxing fan standpoint, that it has to be at least a third fight at some point down the line. I don't know if it's going to be within the next 6 months to a year, but at some point they're going to have to get in the ring again.
I would be stunned if it didn't happen, because part of obviously testing yourself in the ring is maximizing your payday, and that certainly would be maximizing a payday
for
Deontay Wilder, no doubt about it. Justin Tinsley joining us from the Undefeated. On the other reason we wanted to talk to you, you'll be at it a little later today, again, 1 Eastern time, the memorial for Kobe Bryant and all those lost in the helicopter crash on January 26th will be at the Staples Center. So kind of set the scene out there in L.A. for us and the expectations.
I've been out here since Saturday, and the moment you land at LAX, you feel that weight as soon as you get off the plane. Because you see Kobe shirts in the airport. You see, I was walking around town yesterday. I saw a Lamborghini draped in Kobe Bryant's numbers and Lakers colors. There's this intense, intense emotion that I don't. LA is they're ready for this moment, but they're also not ready for it in a sense, because this is part of the grieving process, and the entire city knew at some point they were going to have to come to this moment. And what's really striking is so many stories have come out since the tragedy, and so many perspectives have emerged in the news. But I don't think a lot of people realize that this tragedy isn't even a month old yet. It happened January 26th, and today is February 24th. Like, it's not even a month old. And with this city, unless you're here and unless you truly understand the cultural cachet and sports cachet in this city, I always knew Kobe Bryant was a huge figure in this city. He played 20 years here, won 5 championships, scored over 30,000 points. I don't need to recite his entire resume because I think we all know that. But what I truly didn't understand was how deeply entrenched in the cultural DNA and fabric of this city that he is. Everywhere you turn, you see a memory of Kobe Bryant or his daughter Gianna. Everywhere you turn, you think about the tragedy that killed those 9 individuals. And unless you're here, you see people hugging each other. You see people crying on each other's shoulders. And it's such an intense and an emotional blanket out here that I don't know if I'm emotionally ready for today, but I'm going to it, and I truly don't know what to expect, but I believe it is a necessary part of the healing process.
There's no question about that. The city of Los Angeles is ready for this, as Justin Tinsley from The Undefeated is with us. But, Justin, there's two parts to this, right? There's the city of L.A. and the personal people and the relationships they have with the families that were lost in the helicopter crash. And then there's the idea of the Lakers, who are going through this again after they went through the first game back on the court after the tragedy. And after the win Sunday over the Celtics, LeBron James, I thought, said some very interesting things about he as a competitor and the Lakers as a team, how they're trying to deal with this and continue to go forward. And I wanted you to listen to this.
I've talked about it, man. It's been a celebration ever since we got the horrific news about his life and what he means to the game, but I don't want to keep going back on it. I think it's unfair and it's unjust to his family. Mm-hmm. As they're trying to move on, we're all trying to move on, but also know that, you know, he's with us. His jersey's sitting in my locker right now, but it just puts me in a difficult mind state when I continue to harp on it.
And that's an interesting, and those are great quotes there from LeBron, because there is this part of you that says, as a competitor, yes, I understand we want to acknowledge this, but at some point, as someone who's trying to accomplish something very important this year, I do have to sort of take that next step and move on from this.
Absolutely. The grieving process is sort of like a fingerprint, whereas it's different for everybody. And for somebody like LeBron or Anthony Davis or any member of that team, there's no way you're going to forget about Kobe Bryant. It's impossible. You're wearing a Lakers jersey. You play in the Staples Center. If you just happen to look up, you see 8 and you see 24. There's no way you can forget about that guy. But at some point, and even Kobe would appreciate this, Kobe, the most maniacal competitor a lot of people have ever seen, he would understand and he would appreciate just being locked in and focused on the moment. Kobe was all about winning. Kobe wanted championships. And that's what this team wants. And to focus on that, you can't put all of your focus on that if you're constantly being asked, oh, how do you feel about this as it relates to Kobe and Gianna and the crash? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about this? And I saw some people saying that was disrespectful of LeBron, but I don't think that was disrespectful of LeBron at all to say that. It was just him saying, like, I'm going to mourn in my own specific way, but I also have a task in mind. And the best way I could pay tribute to Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, and the individuals who lost their lives in that crash is by being focused on this season and bringing a championship home to Staples Center.
Yeah, and we'll see how that plays out again the rest of the season, but also what happens today. Again, that memorial, we'll see it on ESPN, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Justin Tinsley will be covering it for us for The Undefeated. Justin, thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, day. Thank you guys for having me on. Truly appreciate it.
Thanks,
no
Justin.
Worries. So it'll be quite the day.
It really, know? Again, 80,000 people applied for the 20,000 tickets in the Staples Arena. And didn't we hear they were trying to have people not be around outside the stadium?
Yeah.
I mean, are the arena, good luck. I mean, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, I don't understand why you would, well, yeah. Whatever. They yeah. have their reasons, and I just don't think that's going to do them any good.
No, I do not.
So that's one thing that'll happen today. The other thing that may happen this week is maybe we'll get closer to a new collective bargaining agreement, because there was some confusion about how all this went down with the Players Association as well as the owners who agreed to the new CBA that had been negotiated by the NFLPA Executive Committee. So we had some questions.
Yes, we did.
About this, and we wanted to talk to someone who was in the know, and no one would be more in the know than our next guest, Lorenzo Alexander, the former Bills linebacker who just retired after a stellar career. He's the NFLPA Vice President, which means he's on the Executive Committee. Lorenzo, thanks for being with us this morning. So we just wanted to see if you could help us clarify some things, because the Executive Committee was part of the team that had been negotiating with the NFL owners over 9 or 10 months on this deal. And then the owners approved it, and then the Executive Committee Friday voted 6-5 against recommending this deal going forward. Take us through that process, if you can.
Well, it just comes down to a couple of things. I mean, obviously, we've been negotiating with the league and the owners for probably over a year now, and obviously, during the off season, the players are way more involved, because obviously, we don't have football season. And so once the season took place, our staff kind of took the lead in that, in those regards. And we came to pretty much a place where I think our staff felt like we were, I think at a place where we maybe couldn't go any further. And I think some guys just felt like we maybe have a little bit more leverage. I think some of that is because we were in season and we weren't in those rooms, and we wanted to be able to address the owners, I think, one more time before we made a decision. And I think that's why you get a split like that, right? Because we have such a heavy decision, because we are really going to impact the 2,000 men that are currently in the league, the future of the league, and as well as some former players. And I think everybody just wants to be 100% sure that we are making the right decision, whether you vote yes or no. And, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, Lorenzo, it's up to you whether you want to tell us or not. Did you vote yes or no? And whichever way you voted, why did you vote that way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm fine with it. I voted yes. Obviously, I'm one of the guys that did that. And just looking at it from, I guess, the big perspective, I think we always want to get everything we possibly can get. But obviously, we are negotiating with another side that has a totally different perspective of what the deal should look like. And I think we pushed them as far as we could. And then also, you think about the other side of it. If there is some type of work stoppage, if there is a lockout or some type of strike that can occur, there's no guarantee that we can continue to push forward. And our league is made up of predominantly three-year guys. That's the average of our careers. We have a lot of young guys in this league, and it's hard for me, looking at it from a 15-year vet perspective, to impact those lives and those families by not taking a deal and not really knowing what that means going forward. You know, so I'm one of the guys that feel like this is the best that we could do. But I could be wrong as well. And so that's why this is a democracy. And then obviously we have all of our guys look at it, and then we will make a vote probably sometime this week based on how each guy feels about if we can make any more advancements, or is this the best we can do?
So Lorenzo Alexander is with us, former Bills linebacker, vice president of the NFLPA. What is the plan for you guys going forward in your discussions with the owners? When are we having those further discussions, and what would you basically be presenting to them?
Well, we'll continue to today we'll have a conference call for the guys as far as coming up with a plan as far as us meeting with the owners this week. We'll meet with them, and then at some point we'll have a vote is whether we pass it on to the players, because the board of reps still have to vote. And so once they do that, then the process will begin or be able to finish with the collective body voting as well if they pass it on to them.
But one thing, Lorenzo, that I remember as a player in sitting in those meetings having a hard time as a 24, 25-year-old to wrap my head around was, let's talk about post-career benefits. And I'd be like, wait a minute, I'm going to play forever, you know? So I want to think about it. So were you happy with, though, because we were all looking at the 5 years after playing, having health benefits to try and get that increased. I didn't see that anywhere in the CBA. Are you satisfied with post-career benefits that you guys got?
I think you talk about one of the biggest issues. Unlike the owners, we are a very diverse group, and our interests aren't always aligned as far as players, because we have first-rounders, we have guys that are drafted, we have guys that play 10, 15 years, guys that play 1 or 2 years. And so getting everybody's stuff aligned to be able to see the big picture about some post care as far as health care, it's always hard to get everybody to see that big picture. Obviously, it's perfect for me because I'm retiring and I want to get that, right? I want to increase that.
Yeah.
And so that's always hard, but that's something that we talked about significantly. We were able to make some movements as far as our HRA, as far as increasing that. So a guy that plays 10-plus years would go from a max from $350,000 to $450,000 in the health reimbursement account. That's what our HRA is. Essentially, is a way for you to pay for your premiums. The issue is that you have to play a significant amount of time to be able to max that out and to extend it, which would make sense in the fact the longer you play, the more money you make, the more injuries you would incur, so then you would make that bigger pot. But we have a lot of guys in 5 and 6 years that may, have injuries as well. And so how do you close that gap? And so there's some other ways that we've talked about also that's on the within this deal, as far as having care at hospitals within NFL cities that a lot of our guys live in post-career, that they would be able to have access to as well to get them treatment. And it's going to be probably a little bit untraditional in the sense of your traditional health care, but we're still hashing some of those things out. But that is something that is a part of this deal as well that hasn't been talked about that much.
So, Lorenzo, let me ask you this then. As we're going through and having these meetings with the owners, and then you're going to talk to the representatives again, when all of that is said and done, do you think that this will actually get approved by the time this week is over, or do you think we're looking at something more protracted?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, as you saw, that was reflected in the EC vote. I think our board vote will be reflected very similar. So it's going to be a very close vote. And I think that's what you get when you have things that are so important, because everybody has a perspective. Everybody wants to do the best for their guys. And it's going to be split just because of the diversity of our membership as well as our player reps.
One of the things, again, we're talking to Lorenzo Alexander, just retired from the league, but is in the NFLPA vice president. The one thing, again, as a former player, that irked me a little bit was starting to see a few tweets from players about it, not liking the deal. I did not like that at all, and I wonder if those players reached out to anybody on your committee or their rep to voice why they didn't like that instead of just blanketing, I don't like this.
Yeah, I mean, you always wish that guys would just come to you first, especially if you have a relationship with certain guys. And obviously, we have a lot of big-name guys that have done it. And I don't have a relationship with everybody that I've seen that has tweeted, but I know at least somebody either on our rep, on our board, because obviously we have 32 reps, and somebody on your team is on that board. And then it's very easy to get D's number, my number, anybody on the EC's number if you want to talk it out. Because obviously that hurts us in a way of solidarity as far as being able to just communicate the deal, communicate your feelings, and maybe we could have pushed it if you got involved even earlier. And so, I agree with you, wholeheartedly on that point. When somebody complains about something and hasn't gotten all the details and then just on Twitter kind of ranting about it. Well, I need solutions, brother. I need solutions, not complaints.
Right.
As far as how we can move this deal to make you feel like you're okay with it, and how can we make it better for all of our guys, 60% of our guys, and not your individual situation. I think a lot of times that's hard for people to do because you're so used to negotiating on your own behalf, your own contract, your own interest. And in this situation, you really have to step back and look at the totality of our league and where the majority of the guys are, and then make a decision, which is, obviously counterintuitive to what most people do on a day-to-day basis. And it's hard to do that. And so, honestly, certain groups, the minimum guys have made strides in this deal versus maybe some of the higher earners where they still have some things that they really don't like. And, that's just complete transparency. But you have to make a decision on what's best for the majority of the men, because nobody's going to enjoy the CBA from, you know, point A to point Z. It just doesn't work like that. And I think that's the biggest thing we're trying to get our men to understand it and make a decision with that in mind. And if you don't like it, cool. If you do like it, great. But not based on your own individual position and situation and how it impacts you and just your family.
And we'll see what happens with those negotiations with your own constituency and the NFL owners going forward. Lorenzo, it is always good to catch up with you, man. Thank you for keeping us updated on what's happening, and we'll see what happens this week.
Thanks, Lo.
I appreciate you guys.
I'm going to tell you, I hope he stays involved.
Yeah.
Because he got in the league, I think, in 04 or something like that, and just retired this year, got in the league in 05. And he is one of the smartest guys I've heard talk about things to be involved with the league and understand the totality of it instead of, and he said it best. And listen, I've said this a ton of times as well.
Correct.
You're dealing with 32 billionaires basically who have all that in common, and you're dealing with over 2,000 players. Some are first rounders, some are undrafted. They're coming at it from completely different spots, and you have to, and it's very difficult to not just look at it from your point of view. And that's the struggle the union has at times of solidarity, is somebody is saying something about this that affects them who makes $10 million a year, and somebody is saying this that affects them that makes the minimum a year. And that's where the trouble lies sometimes for the union. As Lorenzo Alexander said, he voted yes. He was one of the five yes votes. There were six no votes on presenting this to the 32 NFL reps out there for an actual vote. They'll sit down with the league. We say this about the scrambling quarterback.
Yep.
But the same applies here. Know when the journey is over.
Correct.
Get all you can get, and I get them maybe trying to get a little more because the league wants this done right now.
Yep.
More than the players want it done right this minute. Okay? So maybe you can get a little bit more, and a little bit more would be great, but if not, understand, don't take it too far, because if you get into the position of being locked out, it's a big, big loss then for the players.
Jeff Saturday said it best when he was in with us Friday. He's like, yeah, I had these guys. I'm with you, man, 100%. We're ready to go. And then as soon as he said, okay, the checks are stopping, they were like, wait, what?
Yep. It's exactly
so,
yeah. Right.
So affects, understand the reality.
The reality is a harsh one and can be a harsh one, and you can lose every bit of everything you have on the table or some leverage. So there is that line right now. I happen to think I think a deal will get done. I do, and it looks like a pretty decent deal, and I really like a lot of the deal helps kind of the middle guys to the lower guys in this one. Well, as we said, and this is true in every sport, millionaires, the big money guys are going to be the big money guys. That doesn't mean you forget them completely, right?
Right.
But the majority in any league are foot soldiers, comparative in that sport. You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. This right. deal lifts them up.
Yes, it does. And I am definitely happy about that.
All right. We'll see what happens with that part of it going forward. But coming up next, a former Laker will give us some perspective on how this Lakers team can move forward. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN.